This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
The Daily Migs Show presents the most popular radio game on this side of the speaker. Let's play Beat Migs.
Beat Migs, don't be a loser.
Ready to beat Migs. I know Yoshi from Redmond is. Yoshi, are you there?
I'm here.
My name is Taryn. I am your host, and it is time for you to get out of here, Steve.
See ya.
For those who are playing at home, Yoshi will have 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. You can pass all you want, but you will only get 3 guesses per question. Are you ready?
Ready.
What cereal uses the slogan, "They're magically delicious"?
Pass. Lucky Charms.
Correct. Which planet's atmosphere smells like rotten eggs?
Venus.
No.
Pass.
How many legs do ants have?
6.
Correct. What 90s sitcom starred the Tanner family?
Full House.
Correct. The first written constitution was adopted in what country?
France.
No.
Italy, Spain.
Nope. In what decade did the Big Mac debut at McDonald's?
82, 83, 84.
No. Which U.S. state has the largest population of black bears?
California, Alaska.
Alaska,
Montana.
Yes. On a standard keyboard, what letter is between Q and E?
Key R.
No.
A.
No.
Pass.
Who wrote the play Othello?
Shakespeare.
Correct. Yoshi, you got 5 correct.
Do you think Yoshi got it? Do you think he's going to beat Mario? I mean, Migs.
I think there might be some tricky ones on here.
I agree.
I've taken plenty of blows from Mario.
Steve Migs, are you ready?
Oh, yeah!
What cereal uses the slogan, "They're magically delicious"?
Frosted Flakes. No. Lucky Charms.
Correct. Which planet's atmosphere smells like rotten eggs?
That would be Uranus. Time.
Correct. How many legs do ants have?
8?
No.
12?
No.
10?
No. What 90s sitcom starred the Tanner family?
The Tanners. Home Improvement.
No.
Roseanne.
No.
What?
DJ Tanner. What the hell is it? Full House.
Correct. Oh. The first written constitution was adopted in which country?
United States of America.
Correct. In what decade did the Big Mac debut at McDonald's?
50s.
No.
60s.
Correct. Which U.S. state has the largest population of black bears?
That would be Washington.
No.
Montana.
No.
California.
No. On a standard keyboard, what letter is between Q and the E?
R?
No.
S?
No.
T?
No. Who wrote Othello?
Shakespeare.
Correct. What color do bananas glow under a black light?
Green.
No.
Purple?
No.
Pink?
No.
Damn it.
Steve,
yes.
You got 6 correct, which is a win.
Let's go.
6-5. Sorry, Yoshi.
Congratulations, Steve.
Thank you, Yoshi.
Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust.
Yoshi knew that ants have 6 legs. And he also knew that the U.S. state with the largest population of black bears is Alaska.
That's a very good answer.
Between the Q and the E, you will find the W.
There it is, right there, yeah.
And the color of the bananas...
Freaking QWERTY.
There you go. The color of the bananas glow under a black light is blue.
Okay.
Yeah. That's fun. That's a fun factoid for you.
Yeah, next time I'm, you know, at a strip club with a banana in my hand. Wait a second.
Wow.
I'll just leave it at that. Okay. I'm going to see myself out, guys.
Yes.
Have a great day.
The Daily Migs Show.
There's a website called Collider, and they wrote about essential movies that everyone should see at least once while still hanging out on planet Earth.
Okay.
So, what movie came in at number one?
Is looking at you, kid.
Sarah, do you know that one?
No.
He's looking at you, kid.
Danny, you know it?
I believe so. Casablanca.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. A movie I've never seen.
Oh, it's so good.
I'm sure it's great.
Steve, did you know it's the number one movie that you should see at least once before dying?
Well, I'm giving you my word that I will never see that movie before I die.
Well, this list leads us to want to ask a simple question. And that question is this. What movie do you think everyone should see at least once before clocking out?
Whoa. Excuse me? What just happened?
I think we thought he said a different word, but he said hook.
Holy God.
Hook, like, starring Dustin Hoffman and Robin Williams, Julia Roberts.
By Robin Williams.
Okay, your phone made it sound like instead of using the letter H, you used the letter F.
Like you just started with that.
With a very aggressive F word. And I'm like, man, I might have clicked on those thumbnails, but I've never seen the full movie.
Got you.
That's a great movie. Good choice, Ray.
I just had a heart attack,
Ray,
guys.
Ray, thanks for the call, and thanks for my blood pressure going up.
Also, our big boss and Ryan Castle were standing in literally the next studio when that happened. I almost died.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, deep breath. Let's lower our heart rate. We're good. We're good. Thank you for the dump button. And for everyone on the Odyssey app, you got to hear what we heard.
Our simple question, we're going to ask it to Solomon, who's on 405 right now. What movie do you think everyone should see at least once?
I'm going to change my answer to True Romance.
I love that movie.
Is that Tarantino's first ever movie?
I think it might be.
It's so good.
Yeah. Now, you know, that is a star-studded cast. I mean, it has Val Kilmer in it, which most people don't know.
Is it Christian Slater in it?
Christian Slater.
Christian Slater, Dennis Hopper.
Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken, Samuel L. Jackson, James Gandolfini, Michael Rapaport, Bronson Pinchot, Brad Pitt, Roseanne Arquette, Patricia okay. Roseanne Arquette, yeah. Sean
Anthony, we don't need to list every single actor that's in the movie, Solomon. Yeah. But is it that one scene where like where it's like the test if someone is actually a good person to be with is the open the door or unlock the door for the person test? That's in True Romance, right?
Yeah. But the best scene in a movie ever is where Dennis Hopper and Christopher Walken are in his trailer, and he's telling him a story about how Sicilians were born and you know.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
very
yeah.
intense. Rock on, very Solomon. Intense, thank you.
Take care, my friend.
Simple question to Anthony in Tacoma.
And Tarantino wrote it but didn't direct it. Some people are texting him.
Thank you, texters. What movie do you think everyone should see at least once, Anthony?
Hey, what's up, everybody? What's up, Steve? It's Bandana Guy.
Oh, what's up, brother?
You know, the only movie everybody should see once is the original and only Crow with Brandon Lee.
It's a great watch, and also one of the greatest soundtracks.
Yeah.
Best soundtrack of all time, best film of all time, honestly, best comic book movie of all time, because a lot of people don't know that.
So did you ever watch the remake, or are you just like, I love the original so much that I don't even want to take the chance?
Hey, Steve, would I stab myself in the eyeballs for my friend? No, sir.
I feel you.
206-803-ROCK, our simple question to Adam in Port Orchard. What is that one movie you think everyone should see at least once?
Hands down, Revolver from Guy Ritchie. It's about man's own battle with his ego, and it will blow your mind.
Is that the movie that has Jason Statham with long hair?
Yes.
Okay, I've seen it. It's trippy.
Is that because Jason Statham at once had hair, or was he wearing
a hair piece. I could be wrong, and someone might correct me. I might be on the wrong path with that movie, but yeah. What about you? What's one movie you absolutely need people to see?
I would say, honestly, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, probably.
Why?
Okay. Oh, my gosh. First of all, it won, like, all the awards that year at the Academy Awards. It was, like, best film, best actor, best actress. Like, it swept the whole thing. It's amazing. Psychological. It's so good.
There's only
Jack
one.
Nicholson.
There's only one real answer to this Steve Miggs.
We know what it is.
Yeah, it's Titanic.
It is.
Yeah, Steve.
I will go to my grave never seeing Titanic. You would have to raise a crap ton of money for some good charity for me to be able to sit down and watch Titanic. That and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Like, there's no chance.
You've never seen One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
Clearly, no.
That's very disappointing.
He also hasn't seen Shawshank Redemption either.
Well, no, in all fairness, I watched it, but I fell asleep. And even one person texted in and said, Steve, you need to watch it and not fall asleep because it's actually a great movie.
It is a really good movie.
Rocky.
Oh, geez.
I'm out.
Have you ever seen it?
No.
Have you?
Yes.
It's the greatest love story. And story of human triumph.
Okay.
Sorry.
I mean, I would argue that the love story in Titanic is a little bit better.
The Daily Migs Show.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's time for Hook or Shook, the game with absolutely no integrity. We'll play 1 second of a hook from a song, then you have to guess what it is. We'll bend the rules, pull out all the stops, and do anything to help you win. But you might just get shook, as one of us will play two and possibly cost you the game.
Rob from Polsbo. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
Let's see who it is you're playing with. Will it be me or Migs?
All right, the wheel's spinning. Who's it going to land on? Right now it's on Taryn, but nope. It looks like it's going to finish off with me.
All righty, Rob. You've got Steve as your partner. Oh.
Let's go.
Wow.
Rob, here is your clip.
Big Old Bag of Them Bones by Alice in Chains.
I think Wolfgang Van Halen just covered this song over the weekend. I know he covered Alice in Chains, and I believe it was this song.
That's rad.
And Jerry was just at the Moore Theater last night.
He sure was.
Hell yeah.
All right, Rob, you have done your part. Steve Miggs, it is your turn.
Okay, hear it one more time. Oh, yeah. Sleep Now in the Fire. And have some fun at the Volbeat concert, because that's Rage Against the Machine.
Congratulations, Rob.
Thank you guys so much.
You are welcome, Rob. That was awesome. You guys play that like pros.
Oh, dude, we're a solid team. Me and Rob, we've gone for years dominating at this game. I'm kidding. Yeah, he did cover Alice in Chains' Them Bones.
That's awesome. He's so talented. For people that don't know, Wolfgang Van Halen, when he does his Mammoth WVH, he plays every instrument on the record.
Right on, right on. Yeah, cell phone footage right there.
He's a very talented young man.
Yes, he does drums, bass, guitar, singing, all that stuff.
And then when he tours, he brings in his band and they do the thing. But he's so talented. It's very impressive. His dad must be very proud.
The Daily Migs Show.
Tell us all about the time you annoyed a celebrity. 206-803-ROCK. We're bringing this up because there was a carload of people driving alongside Justin Timberlake just the other night, and they were rolling down their windows trying to get his attention, and then at a stop, Justin Timberlake finally rolled down his window, and let's just say that he was not having it.
Justin Timberlake!
Bro, roll out the window!
Roll out the window!
You want something?
Let's race!
And he looks so annoyed when he's looking at it. He's like, what do you, want? Because they were going for a while.
Oh, yeah.
You want something?
No. Let's race!
You want something?
No, let's race!
Stop!
Get out of here, you you effing kids!
So what about you, Rockaholics?
Bye, bye, bye.
Wow. Sorry. When did you annoy a celebrity? 206-803-ROCK. Kim from Shoreline, you annoyed the men's room? How did this happen?
Oh, I was up at Monroe, and they were there for a demolition derby or something like that, some kind of event. And I was really drunk, kept calling them all by the wrong name. I called Thrill Miles and Miles Ted, and I was arguing with them about what their names were. They were so annoyed they were done with me.
He's like, no, I swear, your name is Ted. He's like, it's Thrill.
Yeah, they had just gotten to town, so I didn't know who
That's
they
awesome.
Were just off the radio.
Thanks, Kim.
That's amazing.
206-803-ROCK. Tell us about the time you annoyed a celebrity, Dylan from Mount Vernon.
Good morning, guys.
What's up, Dylan?
Much.
So what's your story?
I annoyed The Undertaker.
Oh, no, not the dead man.
Yeah, my buddy and I flew in for WrestleMania 21. This is in Los Angeles. And on our way back, a lot of people recognized him, and they just bum-rushed him at the seats. And you can tell, well, not so much him, but his wife was not having it. This is when he was still with Sarah, and I got up to him, and you can tell he was just winded.
At the airport, you said?
At the airport, right after WrestleMania 21.
I feel like that's the place where I really would do my best not to even say hi to someone when they get off a plane, because that's like the last thing they want to deal with is talking to anyone. You just want to get out of the freaking airport.
Yeah, no one really enjoys spending extra time there.
I do love he brought up, he's like, back when he was married to his first wife, whose name was Sarah, because we know that because at one point he had a neck tattoo that just said Sarah on it, right? And then they eventually broke up. And now you could, it was like remnants of it. Like he must have had it like laser removed, which just sounds very painful.
Oh.
Did it have an H on it or an A?
I think it was a Sarah without an H.
Oh, she's so happy.
The right way, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, you shouldn't have gotten a tattoo because we all know if you marry someone with just no H, it's down to be divorce city.
That's true.
206-803-ROCK. When did you annoy a celebrity, Richard from Federal Way?
Good morning, guys.
What's up, Richard?
So I was down at Alki one time. We used to go there every Friday. And me and some friends saw Big Smooth, Sam Perkins.
Yeah.
He's with his kid, and it looked like his bodyguard. And this was when he played for the Pacers.
Okay.
And my buddy was like, I want to get his autograph. And I'm like, Mikey, don't bother him. He's with his family. Don't bother him. And so we let him go by. Like, an hour later, he came back over, and I was like, Mikey, don't bother him. He got right in front of me, and I jumped up. Can I get your autograph? And Mikey was pissed. He wasn't happy.
Oh.
And Sam was like, yeah, sure thing, kid. And all I had was my Seahawks hat. So I had him sign my Seahawks hat. And after that, he got mobbed by a bunch of people for autographs and pictures, and we got the heck out of there.
Oh, you guys kind of broke the seal. I bet there was a lot of people like, I don't want to bug him. Then they saw him sign an autograph, like, well, F it. If that kid got one, we can too.
Yeah. And that started my whole hat autograph thing. So I got about probably 20 of them now.
Nice. Who's
your favorite signature on your hat?
That's a tough one. I would say in between, Danny Bonaducci and Sue Bird.
Oh, very cool.
Pretty cool. Two very different people right there. That's awesome.
206-803-ROCK. Scott from Oak Harbor, tell us about the time you annoyed a celebrity.
Yeah, it was back in like 2002, 2003 when I was deployed to Kuwait with the Air Force, and Diamond Dallas Page came over with the USO tour, and me and two of my buddies each pitched in $20 and paid our other friend $60 to go up to him and ask him what it felt like to get his butt kicked by Oliver Platt.
And how'd that go for him?
Well, for those that don't know, he was in the movie Ready to Rumble, which was a wrestling movie, and he was the bad guy. But when my buddy said that, he immediately looked pissed off. Oof. And my buddy buckled and immediately started pointing at us and saying a bunch of stuff frantically. So he motioned to me to come over, and I slowly walked over, and he just very sternly looked me in the face, and he's like, "Did you really pay him to say that?" And I was like, "Yes, we did." I was like, "I thought it'd be funny." I was like, "I'm a big fan of the movie, and you did a good job." And he just kind of looked at me, looked like he was ready to punch me, and then just smiled. He's like, "Oh, that was pretty funny." He shook my hand, signed an autograph, and then we went on about our business.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, because everything I've ever heard, and I've met him once, he's nothing but nice. Like, he's just, like, overwhelmingly positive. So I think he probably saw that as a good opportunity to just troll a group of kids that thought they were having some fun with him.
206-803-ROCK, Brandon from Bonnie Lake, tell us about the time you annoyed a celebrity.
Yeah, we were over in Spokane at a club, and they had a, back then it was called the WWF. Migs, you could probably appreciate this, now WWE.
Yeah.
Ted DiBiase was there for the show, and he decided to go out and dance at the club, and we saw him there and decided that it would be a good time to have an impromptu mosh pit, so we kind of got into a slam dance.
And how did that go?
He actually wasn't too annoyed. He was a little bit perplexed. Kind of thought it was funny.
I just love that our listeners seem to like to annoy wrestlers. Yeah, Undertaker, Diamond Dallas Page, and the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase.
And don't forget Steve Miggs.
Yeah, yeah.
F Steve Miggs.
F that guy.
The Daily Miggs Show.
There is an awesome YouTube page called Drumeo, where they grab well-known drummers,
yep,
bring them into a studio, and then they play a very popular song for them that these drummers have never heard before.
And the website does a bunch of stuff. It's like there for like tutorials and educational stuff. But the feature that I think everybody loves is when they grab a popular drummer and say, "Have you heard this song?" "No." "Okay, we're going to give you the song without the drums, and you got to figure out." Chad Smith has done some great ones on there.
On the most recent episode.
Drummer of Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yes. On the most recent episode, it's Mike Portnoy, the drummer for the metal band Dream Theater, that was brought in and found out he had to play drums along with a Taylor Swift song. And he had no idea that this song was by her. Here is a sample of the song.
Oh, yeah, okay, shake it off. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So it's crazy to think. I mean, it just shows, like, not everybody's just sitting on their phones or watching whatever's going on in the world of pop culture. Mike Portnoy may be a little bit busy being arguably one of the best prog rock type drummers. And he's just an incredible drummer. And he's probably not got time to listen to Taylor Swift.
No.
But it's crazy that he's never heard that voice.
Blew my mind. And this is him reacting to the song.
What the hell was that?
Mike, you actually don't know what that was.
Is that something that's popular?
That song has 3.3 billion views.
3.3 billion?
Yeah. There's like measly 3.3 billion.
I can guarantee you one of them is not me.
Yeah. That's the thing I walked away with, is that Mike Portnoy just seems like a fun guy.
Yeah.
Like, he's up for a fun challenge. He doesn't take himself too serious. And he's got a great sense of humor.
So in this next clip, this is him recording his drum part to Shake It Off, and you will notice there is the signature double bass.
And also, like, so he's not heard the actual drums on the original version, so he's just trying to come up with, and it just changes it. It just shows how important a drummer is as a drummer.
Wow,
I say
tooting your own horn there, Steve.
Okay, I won't toot my own horn with this. How important a good drummer is, because it can really change the overall vibe of a song. The double bass going on.
You're doing too much, buddy.
Too much.
Right?
Oh, no, I love it. He's fixing the song.
You might want to pull it back, Mike.
Ooh, I like it right there.
In this last clip, he finds out that it's Taylor Swift.
Who is it? What is it?
Have you heard of Taylor Swift?
Oh my God! That's Taylor Swift! like only the biggest artist on earth. Wow, that's Taylor Swift. Well, you know, that there you go. Perfect example, biggest artist in the world. I don't know a single one of her songs. My daughter is going to get a kick out of this. Wow, I'm sorry. I f***ing totally ruined your song. Now I can't say I've never heard a Taylor Swift song. You just ruined that for me now. I can no longer say that.
And at one point, he's like, Taylor, though, if you need a drummer, I'll play the song right if you need me. Oh, and he's like, look, I don't like this type of stuff, but also I'd imagine it'd be a good payout to be a drummer for Taylor Swift.
The Daily Migs Show.
According to Rolling Stone, Beyonce's Lemonade is the greatest album of the 21st century so far.
I should have stopped reading this list right there, and maybe I would have just left angry. But the more I read the list, the more furious I got.
They broke down the 250 greatest albums of the 21st century so far, and looking at the top 25, we decided to grab the rock records that made the cut. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
All right, coming in at number two.
And I saw a lot of people like, this should be number one. This should be, because there's some Radiohead fans out there that just are obsessed over this Kid A record. And this is like the start of the decline of Radiohead, if you ask me. I cannot stand this record.
What's your favorite of the Radiohead records then?
Anything that's not made, anything that was made before Kid A.
Got it.
I mean, OK Computer. You know, The Bend.
I love The Bend.
The Bend is probably my favorite. And then even their first record.
Pablo Honey. Oh, yeah.
After that. I mean, I know, and people love this. Like, they love it. They go crazy over it. I just think it's just him whining over some weird sounds, man. This is probably, like, the most, like, upbeat song on this record. Nice job finding it, Danny. And there are people who genuinely love that record. And, I mean, I can understand that the passion for it. And some people feel like that should be the number one record of the 21st century.
Okay.
I disagree, but...
Rolling Stone's list of the 250 greatest albums of the 21st century so far coming in at number 10.
Surprised that this is in the top 10, but I'm okay with it because I love The Strokes. Not a Strokes fan? Really?
Doesn't really scratch the itch for me.
I just remember seeing these guys at the Crocodile. They opened up for the band called The Doves. And it was like they were starting to build this hype as being like this new it band from New York. Everyone was talking about them as like being like the future big thing. And my mind was blown seeing them live. They were just like just gritty, raw rock band. But apparently not your cup of tea.
Not my cup of tea.
I don't know if I'd put them even in the top 100, though, of the records that have come out in the 21st century, but I'm not going to argue with that one because so far pickings have been pretty slim.
Yeah, going through the top 25 of the total 250 greatest albums of the 21st century, according to Rolling Stone, this is number 14.
Can we agree that this is a good record?
It's a great record.
Okay, good.
The White Stripes' Elephant.
And that's it.
That's it.
That's it in the top 25.
Oh.
For rock.
Now, granted, they did 250 records, and I quickly went through it because I was curious. And obviously, I probably missed a couple here and there. But if you're listening to this and you're like, what about blah, blah, blah? Chances are it's not even on there. Couldn't find like a Tool record on there, which I was surprised by. Linkin Park as well. Audioslave. Like, you would think somebody's a Pearl Jam. I know you guys are going to be mad. But, you know...
But that's kind of embarrassing.
It was so bad that I actually Googled what do we mean when we're talking about the 21st century? Even though I knew that was the 2000s, I was like, maybe I'm confused. Maybe this is a whole different, like, maybe I don't have this figured out.
I did see that they got Mastodon on there somewhere. They got Queens of the Stone Age in there somewhere. But all in all, like, rock really got snubbed.
So, then The Killer's Hot Fuss, which I thought that's a great record. I mean, I know some people don't like it, but I think that makes sense to be in the top 50. Green Day finally did crack it. I was a little upset they weren't number 69, but they were number 68.
Oh, okay.
For American Idiot.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Well, what else came out like in the 2000s? And
okay. Yeah, you know sorry. I mean? I'm getting confused. You know what? I would have to Google what the 21st century was, too.
White Stripes had another record at number 75 with White Blood Cells, which is another good one. Deftones did make the list with White Pony, which they should, but they were number 107.
Wow.
And My Chemical Romance for all the emo night kids out there.
Yeah.
Number 113 with the Black Parade, which I don't argue at. I do believe that record should be in the top 250.
You know what, Rolling Stone? I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
It was fun to go straight to the comments on this one. I was reading some of the comments and people are just... One person says, I've hated all of your lists, but I've never been more mad at you for this one.
Ouch.
Do you even listen to these records, or do you just pick them randomly? In other words, this is just awful. You've had some bad lists in the past, but this is just effed. Whoever came up with this list needs to be fired.
The Daily Migs Show.